Dillon Township Board of Supervisors meeting is the regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, October 26th, 2021. Before we call the meeting to order, I advise all persons present that this board did meet in executive session. On the agenda, it says at 5:30, but we met at 6 p.m. to discuss, actually to discuss legal matters. So, and we, that executive session ended at approximately 7 p.m. All right, with that, we'll call this meeting to order. I would ask everyone to please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Corden?
Here.
Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
Supervisor Nunn?
Here.
Supervisor Wycombe?
Here.
There are five presidents, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very well. Seeing as all members of the board are present, we'll proceed with our meeting. Before we get into the first item on our agenda, the following announcement, although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending the meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to take record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That will take us to the first item on our agenda, which is our first visitor or public comment session. So as everyone has become accustomed to now, the rules of the road for visitor public comment session are as follows. We ask folks, would you like to come up to the podium and place a comment into the record? You come up, you provide your first name, last name, and provide your address. And then we generally ask that folks make their points or point within 3 minutes or so. We do have the discretion to allow a speaker to go longer if it seems appropriate. But around the 3 minute mark, if a speaker hasn't finished up, I'll sort of gently interrupt and just sort of ask the speaker to kind of conclude fairly quickly. So with that, floor is open and the mic is open. Anyone wishing to place a comment into the record can do so at this time. Seeing as no one has come forward, we'll move to the first item on our agenda this evening, and that's our consent calendar item. There are three items under the consent calendar. The first is the adoption of the Board of Supervisor meeting minutes from October 12, 2021. The second is a financial performance securities issue. It's identified as B1-4. It's the release of the financial security provided for the stormwater management site plan for the Kramer residence, S-2020-017. And the last item under the consent calendar is the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $2,799,364.47 and payroll in the amount of $296,196.53. We can take all items together in one motion or we can separate them one at a time. But at this time, we can entertain a motion from the board.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve all the items on the consent calendar, items A, B, and C.
Good. Motion made by Ms. Court to approve all items of the consent calendar for this evening's meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and these items are approved. The next item is new business. The first item under new business is A1-18. It's an update on the fiscal year 2021 budget. It's a third quarter overview and that will be provided by Mr. Crispin.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go down below. It's a little easier for you to see the screen.
That's right. Everyone, throughout the course of the year, we've been providing quarterly updates with respect to the township's budget and its finances. This is the third quarter results as of September 30th.
Chris, can you have a question? Is that a question?
It is.
Okay, maybe she can be adjusted. Good.
Sorry.
So the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, Section 3205, identifies exactly how municipal budgets are to be set up. This is, some of the slides you'll see are the same slides that I presented over the last year, and certainly the last two quarters that we've done so far this year. For Dairy Township, we have a total of 11 funds. We have 8 operating and 3 capital. And as you can see on the left here, our operating funds are 01 through 95. These are the general fund, streetlight, community center, solid waste, library, debt service, liquid fuels, and the operating reserve. On the capital side of our budget, 30, 31, and 32 represent the capital reserve fund, the community center reserve fund, and the road equipment fund. The 2021 budget, as you know, we adopted last year, right around this time. We adopted that budget at $22,982,846. That's actually an 8.44% decrease. This is the revenue from where we were a year ago. All of our revenues have been adjusted conservatively to reflect what has gone on with COVID with respect to our township finances. We'll get a little bit deeper in the next slide or so. So on the revenue side of the equation, 84% of the township's budget is made up of, and it's kind of hard to see here, this is real estate taxes. And then over here, this is the Act 511 local enabling tax. All the rest are grants and some other entitlements that come into the township from other sources. But 84% of your budget is right here in terms of revenue. The Act 511 taxes, as I mentioned on the last slide, they include your real estate transfer tax, earned income tax, the local services tax, an occupation tax, amusement tax, and parking tax. What I think is most important to point out, one item in our budget that probably receives the most scrutiny is real estate taxes. And when we talk about real estate taxes with Dairy Township, we have to look at it in three parts. The Dairy Township School District represents 67% of your tax bill. Dauphin County represents 24%. Dairy Township represents 9%. So for the 9% that residents pay on their real estate property taxes, you get a lot of, and I'll say bang for your buck here in the township with the services that are provided. The community is very robust, and I think we do an awful lot with the amount that we collect at 9%. I can't say the same for other agencies, but you know, for the one that I do know, say with certainty that the 9% that's collected, you get a fair value for that dollar. Through the end of the third quarter, revenue should be trending at 75% or higher, and expenses should be trending 75% or lower. At the end of September, most of our township revenue categories are trending very closely to the 2020 levels, and in some cases they've exceeded those estimates, and we'll show that shortly. Amusement and parking taxes were adjusted downward in 2021 when we sat with the board at budget time last year. We talked about that. Generally speaking, in a good year, when COVID-19 was not an issue for the township, combined revenue for parking and amusement tax was at $2.3 million. You can see we adjusted downward to $525,000 combined. You know, that's a significant drop. And you know that, in and of itself, represents what the conservative viewpoint that we have towards the revenues as they come in the door. You know, we look at what comes into the township from the amusement and parking tax, and a lot of that is what I would call, and you've heard me say it before, if-come, and it's not necessarily income, because it can go away at any time. It's a little hard to see, but as you can see right now, this is an overview of the revenues and expenses in the general fund. So at 88% of revenues are through the door as of the end of September. That's great. I'm pretty happy with that at 88%. And conversely, on the other side, we're showing 52% of our expended budget. Now, that large bills list that you approved tonight, one motion ago, that did include our MMO payments for this year. It also included some payments for the bond for the community center project. So that $2 million that was just approved wasn't all general fund dollars, is what I'm trying to say. So that 52% is actually going to come up a little bit now that the MMO payment that was calculated was paid in this bills list. So when we look at Act 511 in particular, red in this case is actually not a bad thing. The red is showing us here where we've exceeded our budget estimates. And I'd like to just drop down to the real estate transfer tax for a moment. Our estimated receipts here are at 900,000, 510 are through the door. But real estate transfers, if you've been watching the newspaper over the last several weeks, has been very active in Derry Township. And I anticipate this number coming up significantly by the end of the year. All of our other revenues with respect to earned income tax, local services, and occupation tax, those are all trending exactly where we need them to be by this point in the year, just by virtue of the distribution of when those funds come into the township. But more importantly, I want to talk about amusement and parking tax. So as I mentioned earlier in that last slide, $525,000 combined is what we're saying we anticipate coming through the door. And you can see that we've significantly beaten that revenue estimate at this point in the year. That's in part due to the fact that COVID-19 has slowed, or it's changed, or people's acceptance of what's going on, vaccinations, Hershey Park doing what they need to do to ensure the safety of their guests. The concert season has picked back up. All of that has impacted our estimates at 525. So the question then becomes, what happens to this excess revenue that's above our current estimate? Well, all of this revenue that comes in the door that's now above and beyond our budgeted estimate goes into the operating reserve. So our 2021 budget is predicated on that 525. Anything in excess of that will go into the operating reserve to then begin building that fund balance that I talk about, and I'll talk a little bit more about it as we get further along in the presentation. On the expense side of the equation, you can see here that the 2021 budget was adopted at $19,300,175. That's a decrease of 7.18% in the aggregate. Again, it's not just the manager's office putting this budget together. It's everyone that sits at this table here and over here. They do an excellent job of managing the funds for the township. I couldn't do this without them, so I think this, a lot of the thanks should go that way, not so much this way. When you look at the expense pie chart, obviously police services, that encompasses about 37% of our total budget. This is the same chart I showed before, just to reiterate the point that at total expenses at this point in the year through the end of September are at 52%. Again, that number will rise as we get into the fourth quarter. We should be closer to our targets now that the MMO payments have been made. All the rest of our expenses right now are trending right where I'd like to see them. So some concerns for 2021. This slide is pretty much the same that I've had in a lot of my presentations with respect to the budget, but COVID-19 national mitigation strategies, that's continued impact on our economy, particularly the amusement and entertainment industries, they have a direct correlation to our township revenues. I think that has, we've proved that in 2020 when we saw the amusement and parking tax revenue really decline, and now we've seen its resurgence in 2021. However, I think I don't want you to think that there's a false sense of hope here, that this is going to be a continued thing. We don't know. It's hard to gauge the impact of what's going on with respect to COVID. I'm not an immunization specialist. I'm certainly not an infectious disease specialist, but I can tell you that when people are uncomfortable to spend money, they're not coming to Hershey Park, and that directly impacts us.
Just that middle bullet.
Sure.
I just want to be clear that I don't see what the other words are. It says the first sentence, but on April 15th, HR reported to Township's ICA board that, I assume it says the Giant Center pilot.
Yes.
But that was, they weren't so much telling us like they were telling us this is a certainty. They were looking at their own projections. We've never agreed that they would not be paying us during that period of time. It's just that based on their calculations back then, they didn't think they'd be in a position where they'd generate enough revenue to make the pilot. But I just want to be clear with everybody here, that doesn't mean they won't. If things turn around and hotel tax receipts continue to go up, I mean, all those things factor into it, but they may be paying that
right
pilot. So I just want to make sure that's clear. That will not, is not a, was not a statement from them to us like a directive.
Right, and I'm just saying that maybe not might be too strong of a word, but there is a chance that beyond all the things that are going well for them at this point, we still may not see that payment this year and possibly next year or thereafter. So I just want to caution everyone that even though things look like they are starting to turn and things are getting better, we need to still be steadfast in kind of what our long-term projections should be. And I just think we should continue moving forward with caution. We need to be prepared that should there be another budgetary shortfall moving forward, that will have a direct impact on the municipal services that we provide. So, like we've been doing, I would say to you that our next steps continue to be, we continue to monitor all of our revenue sources. We close the gaps with targeted cuts across our budget, and certainly we take any opportunity we can to evaluate any debt service restructuring to take advantage of the low interest rate market. At this point, I don't have a recommendation on any debt service changes to make. The board did take action last year to rebalance some of the debt service and restructure it. At this point, I don't have a recommendation for you for this calendar year, but that doesn't mean that we might not have one in 2022. The other piece to this is the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. As you're aware, on March 11th, the president signed a $1.9 trillion coronavirus aid relief package. Specifically, I'll drill down to Derry Township here. We're allocated close to $2.5 million. It's actually closer to $2.6. We did receive already 1.3 through the door this year by June 29th. We anticipate the second payment coming May of next year. Those funds right now are segregated. They are in a separate interest-bearing account. They are not part of the general fund balance at this point in time. What I can say is that the U.S. Treasury Department, who is responsible for developing the guidelines and the regulations with how those funds are to be spent, still have not finalized their final rule. They tell us that it should be by the end of this year. We're in October, we'll see where that goes. So my advice has been to just continue to leave that money sit still until we get further guidance from the federal government. I would prefer to not go down the path of trying to spend it until we actually have to, and until we get some more guidance, it's sort of, it's just there. So our next steps, continuing here, what we've been doing since COVID-19 started, we continue to look at all the township departments. We evaluate what they do, our existing service levels. We look at opportunities to potentially restructure or outsource any non-mission critical positions, which may be eliminated. We eliminate other services that can be provided by other governmental agencies or non-governmental entities. As you know, our board, our collective bargaining agreements will be renegotiated this year. I'm happy to report, I think the AFSCME agreement is in a position where it might be coming before you in the next month for consideration. We're actively negotiating with the police association at this point. As I mentioned on the last slide, we always look at what we can continue to evaluate any debt service restructuring opportunities. But most importantly, I want to stress again that the township needs to take a hard look at refocusing its energy to rebuild our reserve funds. One of the things that I think is an opportunity with the ARA dollars as they are becoming available, part of the federal government's thought process on it is to evaluate the total loss of each community. So Zelenkovsky Axelrod, if you recall, they are a consultant to help advise us on how to address those monies. Has done a preliminary take on what our total loss assumption would be for 2020, and we have to do that for the next 3 years. In 2020, that estimated loss is calculated about $1.8 million. Now, that number can't be finalized because we're still waiting on our 2020 audit. The audit is still outstanding because we are waiting on PMRS to issue their reports based on the township's pension plans. So until they do so, we're stuck. We can't get our audit off of center, and we can't finalize the total loss calculation to begin developing an idea of how we're going to address that $1.3 million that's in that other account. So there's a couple of things that have to fall before that money can move. What it does do for us, though, when you have a total calculated loss of $1.8 million, it says that those dollars then, if I understand the law correctly, we can then allocate those to savings towards the lost revenue. They could potentially find their way to an operating reserve, all of which I think is very positive. At this point, I don't have any other slides. I will open it up for questions. If you have any, I'll try my best to answer.
Do you have any questions for Chris? I think that's it. Thank you for the update. Thank you very much. Keep us up to date on these. Hey Chris, you're going to make sure that we get the ICBA has a presentation from HUNR in November.
Yes.
So we can go through a similar kind of analysis on the job.
Yes.
Well, thank you everyone. We'll move on to the next item. It's item B19-32. It's the consideration of the second time extension for conditional approval of the final lot consolidation and land development plan for Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase, Plat 1330. Mr. Habe.
All right. Plat 1330 represents the first final plan after the January 22nd, 2019 approval of the conditional use application for Hershey West End Master Plan. The Board of Supervisors initially approved Plat 1330 on March 23rd, 2021, conditional upon several items being addressed no later than September 23rd, 2021. The Board granted an extension until October 29th, 2021, and the applicant has requested a second time extension until November 12th, 2021 to address the remaining conditions of the September 14th, 2021 extended approval. This extension request proposes no changes to the details of the previously approved plan or to the waivers that were previously granted. I recommend that the board extends the approval of Plat 1330 until November 12th, 2021, subject to the following: that the applicant shall agree to and execute a development and financial security agreement in a manner and a form acceptable to the township, that the applicant shall provide deeds and dedication and accompanying exhibits for additional right-of-ways along Bullfrog Valley Road, Wood Road, and Waltonville Road in a manner and form acceptable to the township, that the applicant shall agree to and execute a recordable document in a manner and form acceptable to the township, establishing maintenance and related requirements of the applicant to ensure that the applicant will maintain in perpetuity the green island within the roundabout. The applicant shall comply with and or otherwise satisfy comment one under required agency approval and comment one under subdivision and land development in the township engineer's review letter dated February 25th, 2021. The applicant shall provide two originals of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement. The applicant shall agree to and execute a stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement in a manner and form acceptable to the township and provide two signed and notarized originals of the same. The applicant shall agree to execute and have notarized and thereafter have a recorded declaration of covenants for deferment of roadway widening in a manner and form acceptable to the township. The applicant shall agree to and execute a declaration referencing the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access agreement in a manner and form acceptable to the township. The applicant shall acknowledge and agree in writing in a manner and form acceptable to the township that the township's instinct conditional approval plat of Plat 1330 in no way, in and of itself, modifies any conditions, waives any rights, or extends any timelines that are related to and or incorporated to the master plan conditional use approval granted by the township on January 22nd, 2019. And in accordance with the terms noted in this conditional approval, And then the applicant shall submit the requisite application and submission to the township for adjustments to the conditions noted in the January 22nd, 2019 master plan conditional use decision prior to the submission of another phase of the Hershey West End land development. The anticipated adjustments are necessary due to existing timelines within the decision, potential adjustments to the proposed phase and schedule, and any additional relevant issues. The dedication of roads depicted on the plan shall take place in a manner and form and within a time frame acceptable to the township. The applicant shall comply with all outside agency requirements, including but not limited to Pennsylvania DEP, FAA, and EPA if applicable. The applicant shall record the development and financial security agreement or memorandum of the same concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easement concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the agreement for deferment of roadway widening concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the declaration referencing the stormwater operation and maintenance agreement and access easements concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the deeds of dedication for additional right-of-way along Bullfrog Valley Road, Wood Road, and Waltonville Road concurrently with the plan. It is not necessary for the board to renew the approval of the waivers that were granted previously.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ed. Any questions for him? If not, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the board approve the final lot consolidation and land development plan for Hershey West End Streets and Infrastructure Phase, Plat 1330, and extend it to November 12, 2021, subject to compliance with items I through 18 through the Department Head Recommendations section of this agenda.
Motion made by Mrs. Knott. Is there a second?
All second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zanuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and this motion passes. Thank you. That'll take us to our next item, which is C-33-38. It's the consideration of approval of a professional services contract with the Department of General Services of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania State Police requested zoning map and or zoning amendment. Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the board recalls, earlier this year, the Pennsylvania State Police, the Commonwealth, were before you with a subdivision application combined with the Hershey Trust Company. As a result of that large subdivision, the Commonwealth has acquired some of those parcels that were created by way of that subdivision. And now it's my understanding that the Pennsylvania State Police, the Commonwealth, is in the process of planning a land development application presented to you at some point in time in the future. But as part of that, they learned of certain rezoning requests and or zoning ordinance amendments that they would like the township to consider. So what this is this evening before you is a professional services contract that the township would enter into with the Commonwealth for purposes of allowing township staff and township professional consultants to work with the Pennsylvania State Police to review and potentially prepare a zoning amendment for you to consider at a future meeting. You're not approving the zoning amendment or the rezoning at this meeting. You're simply approving two-part. You're authorizing us to work with the Pennsylvania State Police to put the potential amendment together for you to consider at a future meeting. And you're also authorizing and executing an agreement that would require them to reimburse the township for any and all costs associated with township staff and consultants working with them in that matter. What we know thus far is pretty general at this point, but the one parcel that the Pennsylvania State Police has acquired is right along the frontage of the existing academy. It's currently zoned conservation. It abuts the existing parcel that the Pennsylvania State Police is currently located at, which is Planned Campus North. And one of the parts of the request is that parcel get rezoned Planned Campus North for, I believe, two reasons. One, I see David with the assistant chief counsel at Commonwealth is here, but my understanding is they want the parcels to be consistent with respect to zoning, and also the intended or planned or anticipated structure that they plan to present to the township at some point in time would require an additional height, which is permitted in the planned campus north, that is not permitted in the conservation district. And that would be the main request with respect to the rezoning. There is some maybe text amendments that we may be working through at some point in time as well. The specifics of that are not quite known at this time. But again, you're not considering the amendment tonight. You're not considering the rezoning tonight. You're simply authorizing township. Talking too loud. You're authorizing the township and the Commonwealth to enter into the agreement, so you get reimbursed for any and all costs associated with it, as well as at least indicating that you're open to considering the request, because it wouldn't make sense for you to agree for us to move forward with putting these ordinances together if you're not even interested in considering the request. I see David is here.
Point of clarification. David Narkevich, Assistant Chief Counsel for the Department of General Services, several of you know who I am. I'm the lawyer who does most of the planning and zoning for the Commonwealth, and I have to apologize on behalf of the Commonwealth, because the folks that are the lawyers and the folks that acquired the land and did the subdivision never consulted with the Public Works or the Land Development Zoning lawyers, and we only found out once we'd acquired the land that it had not been made a precondition of doing all of this consolidation that we zone the entire tract in the same zoning. So the first thing they did was come to me, and nothing made sense. So Patrick, actually, or Mr. Armstrong, what we've actually done is greatly simplified. The only thing we are asking the board, and we've started the ball rolling, I've filed the official zoning petition, the petition for zoning amendment, because the Commonwealth is in COVID, and I'm 90% of the time I work at home, and our consultants are in New York, Philadelphia, and Washington. They're going to mail all the plan supplement and the PDFs to David and Jill and Chuck, and then the check's coming from New York, so that'll all be sent in, and then it'll be an official petition. But the petition's only going to ask for an amendment to the zoning map and no substance. Patrick and I talked about some substance, but we greatly simplified it. The second thing, and I'll be honest with you, Patrick and I didn't know this, there is only one parcel. So when we met with Mr. Wyckoff and Mr. Smuda, everyone was under the impression that the two parcels that sit in the front on Hershey Park Drive across from Trogues were separate parcels, because that was what Hershey Trust had to be. But they were actually consolidated, so the whole campus, except for the museum on the top, which is a donut hole, and American Water, which is the other donut hole, are the only ones, and we surround it completely. So we can't subdivide the land and sell it. So we talked about a possible conservation easement, but we can't subdivide it without that. That's even better than a conservation easement. So that was a question that was brought up about whether we could do a conservation easement so nobody's, 100 years from now, we're not selling it to fast food and they change it. No, it's all one lot, so we can't do anything without your permission. So literally the only thing we're doing is asking you to rezone, but here it's really critical, because we're spending up to or in excess of $250 million on this building. And right now the conservation easement goes smack right through the middle of it, and the whole dormitory part where the state police cadets will be staying is in conservation, which only allows that to be 45 feet. The building's planned to go just under 60 feet, which of course if it's all planned campus north, we're in conformity and we don't need a zoning waiver or anything like that. So it's rather critical to the Commonwealth. We're certainly gonna work with all of your experts. There were some questions about steep slope and something else that escaped me at the moment, but when I got the feedback from Mr. Armstrong, I bumped into our experts and they quickly came up with a very good answer. So I just talked to Mr. Habig and Mr. Bonanno, and I said maybe we could set up a Zoom call if this is approved working with the professionals, with you, Mr. Armstrong, and anybody else, and we can kind of flesh that out too. So we really want to work with the township, but unfortunately the clock's ticking at the township then, because steel and everything else is going sky high. We don't bid this out pretty quickly in the spring, we're going to see that $250 million greatly inflate. We represent the taxpayers just like you. If you have any questions about that or the agreement, I'm here. Otherwise, I will sit down and let you, ladies and gentlemen, do what you need to do.
It's nice to see you.
Thank 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 you. Nice to see you.
The structure that you're referring to, is that going to be, you know, just thinking of the academy, is it up this, where the cadets will stay, is that, will that be up back?
No, this is going to be, it's going to be as premier a building as you have in Hershey. Some of the supervisors, Mr. Smoot and Mr. Wyckoff, your township manager, Mr. Crispin, have seen this. It is literally unbelievable. The same architects that built the World Trade Center, the new World Trade Center, have done this. And it's going to be a gleaming, sort of almost a U-shaped building that comes across the top of the crest and actually down the crest a little bit. So on, as you look up from Trogues, the right side will be a cafeteria on the first level, and then the cadets will be above that. And then the middle will be classrooms, and the left part turns into other things, and then there's a gym behind it. So it's unlike the current configuration. And it's going to be quite the chore to build it, because we've got to keep the academy rolling while we build in the front and then slowly demolish the back. So it's going to be a bit of a, but it actually will be quite visible from, let's see, if you're driving up, from like where the country club is over the railroad bridge, or on, you know, Hershey Park Drive. I mean, everybody that drives into Hershey will see this building. And so it's going to sit on the crest. And because of that, that's where the conservation zoning goes, kind of right through about a third of the building.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you all for your consideration and your professional courtesy. And again, your staff has been marvelous with us. Thank you very much.
So Pat has sort of described this for us. Does anybody have any questions for Pat or Dan or Dave at this point? If not, we can take a motion. Pat has a suggested motion. I'll go ahead and move that we approve and execute the professional services contract to ensure reimbursement for any professional service fees associated with the Pennsylvania State Police request, and further to authorize the township and the township professional consultants to work with the Pennsylvania State Police on preparing a potential zoning map and or zoning ordinance amendment for the board to consider at a later meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you, David.
Thank you all. Have a nice evening.
That takes us to the last item under new business, which is D39. It's the request to close North Hockersville Road, State Route 2011, from Old West Chocolate Avenue to Hershey Park Drive from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 6th, 2021, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Championships being held on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. Chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The annual PIAA Cross Country Championships is scheduled for Saturday, November 6th, 2021, on the grounds of the Hershey Entertainment Complex. The design of the course has runners crossing North Hockersville Road two times during each race. For the safety of the runners and spectators, Hershey Entertainment Complex Safety and Security has requested the closure of North Hockersville Road. As part of the closure, they will place appropriate road closure signs and barricades, and will also man each closure point. If approved, there will also be a variable message board placed on North Hockersville Road 5 days in advance of the event to warn motorists who routinely use this roadway. This is something that they've done many times before, and they've actually become quite efficient at it. So in order to maintain the safety of the runners and the spectators who are crossing over North Hockersville Road, they're requesting this closure.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions for the Chief on this item? If not, is there a motion?
The public has made the motion to request to close North Hockersville Road, State Route 2011, from Old West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey Park Drive, from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 6, 2021, for the annual PIAA Cross Country Championship, which is going to be held on the grounds of Hershey Entertainment Complex. That would be approved.
Thank you, Ms. Court. Motion made by Ms. Court. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes. Thank you. All right, That concludes new business for this evening's meeting. That takes us to departmental reports, and then first on the list is Police Department Chief Warren.
Before going to the supervisor's reports,
there we go. Yep. Chief, let me just freeze you right there. Let me go backwards. I apparently turned over my sheet. It's at the very bottom. I see it. I'm flipping glasses constantly, and I missed it. I apologize. So we have supervisor, board, and committee reports. We'll start with Mr. Smith.
I think you just want to get at
it. No, that's not
true. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I've had a busy couple of days here. Last night, DCDB, Downtown Core Design Board, met. We discussed two items about signage at Hidden Still and outdoor dining in Vermonti's. Both were approved. This morning, we had transportation committee. We haven't had time to discuss. Do you want to brief them on the transportation? I'm going to let Ms. Knott brief us on the transportation committee. And to close out, I want to thank the Hershey Company for their chocolate donations for both the Halloween parade and Chocktoberfest. Hershey Entertainment for their generous donations and all the other donations and volunteers that made both of the events very successful. And I know I'm forgetting a bunch of people, but thanks to everyone for that. Everything was wonderful. We have our holiday celebration downtown, tentatively scheduled for December 4th. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. Thank you, Rick.
Much this evening.
Very brief.
I have things, but then I can wait.
I get it. Mr. Wyckoff.
DTMA met last night. We received an update on construction projects, including Winter Tone was to the Southwest Wastewater Treatment, which is on time, on budget, to be delivered 2023. We had a discussion of engineering services and timing of an RFP, stormwater update, the Eschenauer Trail work that's going to begin in coordination with the township, discussion and approval of the 2022 wages and salaries, and also the purchase of a new cargo vehicle using CoStars. I just want to take a second to thank Zach and Parks and Rec and Matt Mandia for another successful parade. I, for one, liked the parade route. After walking in it in 2019, it was a different change of scenery, so I like that. And also thanks to the Hershey Company, as Rick mentioned, for the donation of the candy. And thanks to Chuck and Michelle and all the volunteers for all their work on Chocktoberfest. I got to stop in before the rainstorms, and I thought it was quite a success. A lot of people were there, and it was just great to be a part of it. And I know Chuck and Michelle worked really hard. So in absentia, thanks to them. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff.
Finally, up to Supervisor Zaluda. The two of us this morning attended the transportation meeting, and we were able to take a look at the draft schedule that H&R provided for their fall, winter, and 2022 events. We discussed employing the same mitigation strategies that worked well this summer to help alleviate traffic concerns both downtown and around the township. We also learned that the Park Avenue walking lights are being installed, which I know that's a big benefit. I know a lot of residents have wanted to see that happen, and they should be complete by the end of this year. And then in addition to that, we reviewed and received updates on a number of the safety measures that we're considering and are in the works for the downtown corridor. And things are going well. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, we're starting to discuss Streetscape 3. We're looking into that now. You guys don't know about that. We're starting to look into it. There are things that were left out the last couple of years, so we're going to start putting things together. Chuck will be happy to hear that we're looking at Streetscape.
That's all I have for this evening.
All right. Well, thank you very much. My only report is I participated in a library down board meeting yesterday morning. Allison and I were on that call. I don't think we've had a library board director meeting yet, but Allison is assimilating just wonderfully into the whole structure of the library here in the township, doing a great job. And I, sitting on that library down board and library board, friends of the library, and then working with the friends of the library, that is a impressive. See the number of people that are involved in the commitment from the community to the library. So all good things going on in the library. I think Allison's bringing a big open mind, you know, big, it's very open-minded in terms of things we can do with the library and make the library more accessible to more people around the community. We're excited about that. So that's my report. That will conclude Supervisor Board Committee reports, and it will take us back to the one we've all been waiting for.
The one and only
Chief Garth Warner, Police Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Only a couple things. We'll be getting together with Supervisor Court to put out some safety reminders and tips for trick-or-treat this year. We'll have some officers that will be out and about doing some trunk-or-treats out of their patrol cars. So we'll have them going to some various areas. I think Sergeant Clements is always at Linden and Ariba, as far as I know. So he's always hit down there. So we'll be doing that. And then the week of October 11th, we had a few of our honor guard members and some department members go down for National Police Week, which is usually in May, but they had to postpone it, so they pushed it to October. So we had some honor guard members down there. They escort the families of the fallen. They get them out of the airport, carry their luggage, get them to wherever they are needed in the vans, to their hotel rooms, to events. So they were actually doing a lot of work down there among all the honor guard units that were down there. And then we were able to attend the National Peace Officers Memorial Service with the Henry family. They received a medal from Mike, and we went to see his name on the wall. It was engraved this year, so very moving, but also a great opportunity to pay our respects to Mike.
Thank you, Chief. Hershey Volunteer Fire Company, Mr. Sasser.
Good evening, thank you. I actually have nothing for you this evening.
Well, thank you anyway. Thank you for your service. Public Works, Mr. Clark.
I have nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Library, Ms. Trotter.
I just want to let everyone know that the Friends pop-up book sale starts on Monday, November 1st. And then we also have an edible book contest starting on November 6th. And those will be on display afterwards. So please stop in and see the really neat items on display.
Very good. Thank you. Parks and Rec, Zach Jackson.
Just a reminder, we will have the Hershey Arts and Crafts Show on Saturday, November 6th at Hershey High School from 9 to 3. We have over 150 vendors registered for the event. With the COVID restrictions at the K-12 facilities, there are some modifications this year. Face coverings will be required, and we won't be having indoor food service, but we are having some food trucks lined up to be outside. So although we're not completely back to normal, we are very excited to be returning to this event this year, and hope that a lot of our residents will come out and support it. Also, community center construction update for you. Work is starting on drop ceilings throughout the office and administrative areas and overhead lighting throughout the building. They're also beginning to pour the outdoor pool deck and encase the pool piping for that outdoor structure. Beginning the coping and stoning in the leisure pool area in preparation to pour the deck around that. And continuing to make great progress with drywall finishing, painting, and overhead ductwork. So at this point, estimating that the total project is around 70% complete.
Before we go to the next one, I want to echo with I think what Rick said, and I think Natalie said about the Halloween parade. Because there were so many people, Carter said, I want to thank the chief and Dave. I don't know if there were folks in the fire department working that. Sometimes it's hard to see, you know, when you're in it, it's a mass of people, right? I know you were in the parade, Public Works, Tom's crew, That was the best, most well-attended Halloween parade I can ever remember here. And maybe because people haven't been outside together for a long time and brought a lot of people out, but it's an enormous amount of work to prepare for. You guys did a fantastic job, your teams. Afterwards, it was true, we saw the ghost of Parks and Rec directors who passed and deal with their family, right?
That's right. He's always helping. That's right, we pulled them out.
But your team, Zach, and I'm sure Tom had folks out there cleaning up when everybody was gone, that was a huge effort. And so I just don't think people realize how late into the night your teams were. And thank you all for that, because it was a great community event. You guys were all a big part of that and your teams. And so please, on behalf of all of us, thank your team. Let them know that we thank them publicly tonight for that, because it's a lot of work. It's really, when you sit there and you're just watching, you feel kind of bad because you see, you know, I was going home at the end of the night and your teams were still there, right? And that's late into the night. So thank you all for that. Well done. Sorry, Matt, that's big buildup for the engineer, so I don't know.
I can't touch that. Yeah. I'm trying. Nothing tonight, thank you.
All right, thanks, Matt. Dave?
Nothing from community development.
Okay, thank you. And last but certainly not least,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to report, since our last board meeting, I did have a meeting, an internal meeting with the USDA. That was last Thursday to discuss the vulture issue. It was a very productive meeting, good learning experience for myself, and certainly Jason White is here, HGNR, representing the zoo. We are slowly working towards a cooperative service agreement. They are trying to get an understanding of all of the efforts that are going to be put into place with what their recommendations are going to be to both the township and HGNR on their side of the fence. But it's going to be like kind of like a three-way thing. It's going to be a combination of township effort, the residents that are Tracy's here, and HGNR collectively working to move this flock. It's a complex issue. They did let me know that this is one of the larger flocks that they've seen in Pennsylvania. It's found a comfortable place to roost here in Hershey. So they are going to work through kind of their standard operating procedure to identify what is the best methods to address the concerns of the flock. The one thing that I think it was an important takeaway from the meeting was that whatever is decided, there has to be a sustained effort on the part of everyone involved to keep the birds moving. If we're actively harassing the birds to move them on, and then we stop a week later, they're gonna be back. And so, you know, the sustained effort from our part is its development of a budget that will be used to reimburse USDA's costs for the project. So we're trying to identify what those costs are, and then that will come out as part of the discussion with the cooperative services agreement. Since that meeting, the police department was kind enough to help us with drone coverage of the area, and we did some night flights as well as daytime flights, and we were able to see the flock mostly in the zoo at that time when we did do the flyover. The silos at night didn't produce much in the way of bird activity, but they do retain some heat in the sun. And so that may make it a comfortable place for them at some points when they're trying to warm themselves. So once we get to the bottom of all of this, we'll be back before the board, you know, for a further and larger discussion with respect to that cooperative services agreement, what's going to be involved in terms of the budget, and ultimately what steps need to be taken collectively among all the parties to make sure that the problem is rectified. So, at this point, I have nothing more to report on that. I'm still waiting to hear back from the USDA. I know the zoo has stepped up their efforts with kind of reporting the numbers of birds, because at this point, they weren't collecting the data with respect to the coatings on the tags of the wings of the birds. They will use that data to then kind of identify where the migration patterns are with the birds, maybe why they're ending up in Hershey. But everything else is kind of speculation at this point. But what we do know is they like it right where they are, and we need to make it uncomfortable for them. So,
yeah,
Yeah, and I just want to say, I was there on Friday, I went over. It is not an exaggeration. I don't want anyone to think that we're doing this over like 10 birds. There are at least 100 of them. And they, at that moment, they were mostly in the zoo. Now, I'm not some aviary specialist, but my sense is they're probably in the zoo quite often, and I know they're on the houses as well. But Hershey Zoo, Hershey and that zoo, they're going to have to, I see this as a major initiative on their part, because they're everywhere there. You watch people in the zoo pointing at them. They're more of an exhibit than the animals in the zoo. I've never seen anything like that. And I know Tracy here yet. I mean, it's unbelievable.
We heard from Jason this morning.
Yeah, we asked him at our transportation meeting.
And well, you asked him.
Yeah.
He
said that he said exactly what Chris had said, that this was the largest flock, one of the largest flocks that they had seen. And he talked about lasers and
they were upping their game, but
yeah.
I don't know if you felt it, but it sounded like he was almost apologetic. Like, oh, well, we were told that now we know that there's a lot out there, so now we're going to do something. That's kind of what it sounded like.
There, Tracy, I know you've seen it. There is a cage, like a netting. It looks like a long tunnel, right? I don't know what animal is supposed to be in there. I tried to count them. There were more than 60 in there that it looked like that it was. And then, you know, there's another 40 in all the trees. But it's concentrated there. They have taken over that zoo. I see this as a huge issue for them, and I'm glad to hear that Jason said they're focused on it, because that we can do all, you know, we can be supportive, but you know, let's not, you know, recreate the wheel. Let's get like a noise cannon up on that roof at the silos so that it keeps them comfortable up there. They need to do something on the ground. It's very tempting. You want to go start screaming at them because you think they'll all fly away. It would be an enormous flock.
It doesn't work. I've gone out there with air horns and they just turn their head and then continue with what they're doing.
They must be so comfortable in those numbers that they're just not intimidated. I've never seen anything like it. But
I was away the last couple of days and noticed in several locations I worked that they use CO2 cans. Like every so many minutes, if you just hear this blast of air, and it was meant to keep the birds out of the fields. So, I mean, this could be, to your point, you know, an ongoing problem and solution.
It was interesting because we had the opportunity to meet with the state director. So he has a ton of experience with this from other parts of the country that he's worked in. And again, as I stated earlier in my comments, that it is one of the larger vulture flocks that they've seen in Pennsylvania. We did learn also that some of the legislative activity that's going on in Washington is sort of relating and revolving around the impact that the birds are having south of us in southern states, going after herds of animals like cattle, like livestock. They like to peck out eyes of baby calves and they kill them. So, I mean, it's all part of this nature thing, but, you know, they're devastating livestock. So, you know, they're looking to make these legislative changes in part, you know, for issues like with us, we're not alone that they're terrorizing, you know, just residential areas, but, you know, the farming community is also being impacted as well. So, it was a great learning experience. Like I said, for me, you know, I've learned a lot about vultures in the last, you know, couple of months. And not to make light of it, it's a serious issue for Tracy and her family and certainly the neighbors that live there. You know, we want to make sure that, again, the most important point that I took away from that is a sustained effort. It's making sure that, you know, all of the entities involved continue to participate and be part of the larger solution.
I did want to point out that when people tell us that the noise might upset the zoo animals, I want you to know that I watched the train go racing through there. You know when the train does the horn? They're completely unfazed.
Well, they're used to it.
Right? So, like, I'm not talking about the zoo animals. Like, the regular zoo animals are not freaked out by any noise. So, we have to revisit all these different efforts. It is a problem, and it's not, you know, it's shocking, and that's why I guess I make a big deal about it. shocking to see. And, but it's a little humorous when you see them all and you see tags on them and you realize what effort someone went to tag these things, but they're still here. Like, wouldn't it just be easier to get them to move on? Like, I don't know, maybe it's important to know where they're coming from. But anyway.
Well, James did say, too, we're stepping up their efforts to exterminate them as well.
To exterminate them?
Yeah.
Removing, really?
Really?
Or terminate them, or remove them?
I took it to believe that they were exposing more than they had in the past.
Well, all good. We're working on it. Thank you, Chris, for following up. I do think it's important to stick to it. So,
aside from that, I have nothing else to report. So,
well, that'll take us to the next visitor of public comment section. So, anybody is welcome to come up. Again, same rules as the first time. It's just the first name, last name, address, and you can try to stay for 3 minutes. Although I can look past them. Well, seeing as no one has come to the podium, thank you all for attending the meeting. Thanks to the staff and everybody for your time and being here. We can now entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Motion made by Mr. Kaluta. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Wood. All in favor, please go ahead.
Aye.